I want to share with you a story today about a man who did what God told him to do. I want to share with you a story about a man who is going to be used by God for the betterment of his nation and to teach us even a lesson today. I want to share with you a story of a man who obeyed God to the letter, and as a result of his obedience, a number of great things happen, but the first thing that happens in his life is the fact that he ends up being sent off to seclusion. He ends off being a place all by himself, just him and God. And God is going to do some great things in his life through that time of seclusion. And maybe today you're feeling like that. Maybe you're already feeling seclusion. I'm already feeling alone. Seclusion? I don't want more seclusion. I've had enough of this physical distancing. I want people. Maybe you feel like you've been locked in your home for the last little while. It's been like 2.5 months and you feel like you haven't seen anybody. Maybe you're busy at home and you're juggling your work career and you're juggling your homework and you're juggling the school of your kids, their homework. And you just feel like you're trapped inside. And the last thing you want to hear about is seclusion. But yet today we're going to read a story about a man who God sent into seclusion. And so we find his story in 1 Kings chapter 17. The first 6 verses of this chapter tell us a unique story and a unique calling on a man that we know as a prophet, Elijah. Read his story with me. It says, "Now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, 'As the Lord, the God of Israel lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word.' Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, 'Leave here, turn eastward and hide in the Kereth ravine, east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have directed ravens to supply you with food there.' So he did what the Lord told him. He went to the Kereth ravine east of the Jordan and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook." In this story that we just read here, Elijah suddenly appears on the scene in Israel. This is the first mention we have of this prophet in the Old Testament. Elijah comes to confront the king named Ahab. Ahab is the king of the northern kingdom called Israel. And the Bible tells us this about Ahab. He is the most evil king in the history of all of Israel. Now that's quite a feat because Israel's had some real evil kings, but Ahab is the most evil of all the kings of Israel. And what makes him evil is probably this one thing about him. Ahab promoted the worship of Baal. Baal is a false god, and he's a god that is brought in from surrounding nations. And Ahab marries actually a woman from one of these other nations whose god was Baal and brought Baal into Israel. And Ahab grabs hold of this false worship of this false god Baal. And he even builds a temple for Baal in Israel. He builds an altar for Baal and places it in the temple. And he is the most evil king because he begins to turn the hearts of the people, the children of Israel, towards Baal and away from God, Jehovah God, Yahweh God, the one true God, the God of Israel. And for that, he is known as the most evil king. God has become tired of Israel's sin of adultery. He's put up with it for a long, long time, and he gets to the point where God says, "I have been merciful and I've been gracious for a very long time, but God is now growing tired of the sin of idolatry, and He's going to bring punishment on the land of Israel because of their idolatry. You go back in Israel's history to near the founding of them as a nation, when Moses is giving direction to Israel as they're about to take hold of a promised land, way, way back in the book of Deuteronomy. And God spoke these words to warn Israel. And these are the words that God spoke to them through Moses. He said, "Be careful, or you will be enticed to turn away and worship other gods and bow down to them." That's exactly what he's doing. "Then the Lord's anger will burn against you, and he will shut up the heavens so that it will not rain, and the ground will yield no produce, and you will soon perish from the good land the Lord is giving you." See, God in this warning, in this verses, had warned them that if they were to worship other gods than him, they would be punished for their idolatry. And the sin of idolatry would lead to the punishment of withholding the rain. Rain would stop to fall on their land. They would be led into a drought. Now you need to understand why this is important. They are largely an agricultural society. They rely on the crops. They rely on the fields. They rely on the livestock. And all of that needs the rain to fall on the land. And God says, if you persist in worshiping false gods, I will act and I will stop the rain. I will bring the drought to your nation. So that's what God does. He sends Elijah. He raises up this man who appears on the scene for the first time. And he confronts this wicked King Ahab. And we already read the words, but let's remember them again. "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word." History would tell us the rest of the Bible story that we don't have time for. It's going to take some time, but this drought would end up lasting 3.5 years. God is going to punish the nation because they turned their backs on him. And Elijah gives this prophetic word, this warning word to King Ahab. And then he turns and leaves. He walks away. He doesn't say another thing. He doesn't do anything else. He says, "This is what's happening." He leaves and he's gone. Now you have to understand the importance of what God is saying here. Not only is he punishing Israel for their sin, but he's making a statement about the false god that they are worshiping. See, this warning would have struck at the heart of Baalism, of those who were worshiping Baal, because the worshipers of Baal believed that Baal was the god of fertility. Baal is the god of rain. They believe by appeasing and keeping Baal happy that rain will come. But God is making a statement here. God is saying, Baal is not the one who gives you the rain. I am. I am the true God. I am Jehovah. I am Yahweh. And I am the God who controls the weather, not Baal. God is making a remarkable demonstration of his superiority here. He is saying, I am the true God, and the Baal that you worship is a false god. So Elijah delivers the message and then disappears. And here's where the story of isolation takes place. God says to Elijah, I want you to go to this place. It's called for us in the Bible, the Kereth Ravine. Some of you have it called the Kereth Brook, depending which version you're reading. And God promised that he would meet Elijah at the Kereth Ravine. God promised that in that place of solitude and isolation, that God would be there with and for Elijah. And God makes him this promise. Go to the Kereth Ravine and you'll find a brook there. You'll be able to drink from the brook. And I'm going to send ravens who are going to bring you food day and night, morning and evening. And the ravens are going to bring bread and meat to him. And see, he is the God who's in control. The nation might be in a drought, but God is going to provide food. Baal is not the God of the rain. Jehovah God is the God of the rain. And ravens are going to come to Elijah's rescue. Now, We might not even think much of these big black birds called ravens, but you need to understand what a raven is to the Jewish mindset, to the people of Israel. A raven is an unclean bird, and they weren't supposed to really do much with them. But God says, I am the God of the universe, and I could even use the unclean ravens to do my bidding. Now, there's another thing we need to realize in this story, and it's an important realization for us, especially in the world we're living in today, that even though the drought is as a result of Israel's sin, even though the drought is a result of Ahab's sin and what he's caused the nation of Israel to do, the drought is going to affect all the people of Israel. It's even going to affect surrounding peoples to the people of Israel and surrounding cities and nations who aren't Israel. This drought is going to be that severe. It's going to be 3.5 years long. And God is reminding us that there are times that judgment falls on the righteous and the unrighteous. And it's just the way life is sometimes. That Elijah is an obedient servant of God. There are other prophets, we'll find out later in the book of 1 Kings, who have not bowed to Baal. And they're going to go through the drought as well. Elijah had done nothing wrong. He had followed exactly what God said. Yet he was going to be affected by the drought just like the wicked were. And this reminds us of a very important truth in the world we live in life that we live today, that when life happens, you just need to learn to trust God. God is not surprised when you're surprised. God is not surprised when something in life hits you in the face and sometimes rocks your world and rocks your situation. It's not like God is standing back going, oh, I didn't see that coming. God knows all about your life. God knows everything that is going on in your life. God knows the way you feel right now. God knows that you might be tired of being locked in this pandemic. God knows that sometimes life just happens, but you need to learn to trust Him in the middle of it. Don't be worried. Don't be anxious. Don't be nervous. In those moments when life seems to overwhelm you, in those moments when you seem afraid, in those very moments is when you need to learn to trust God. See, the Kereth Ravine is an important place in Elijah's life. It's the place of seclusion where Elijah will grow. It's that place of isolation where God is going to do more growing and stretching in this man named Elijah that's going to make him a great prophet of Israel. In fact, sometimes people think he's the greatest prophet of Israel of old. And God shaped him in that place of seclusion and in that place of isolation, in the place of the Kereth Ravine. God wants to show Elijah some things. God wants to teach him some things. God wants to prepare him to be the man of God that he needs him to be, the prophet to the nation. See, it's in those times of seclusion where growth happens to you. It's in those times when you feel alone that God could shape you. It's in those times when you feel like you've come to the end of yourself. It's in those moments and in those places where you can find God the most. And so God is reminding us today that there are times that He sends us into the places of seclusion and isolation because He wants to do a work in our hearts and in our lives. He wants to shape us for the days that are coming ahead. He wants to shape us for the journey that's yet to continue. He wants to shape us to make you into the man or woman of God that He's destined and designed you to be. Don't be afraid of those places of seclusion, because it's in those places where God is going to shape you, just like He shaped Elijah. God took care of Elijah in that place. The water, the ravens, the food. And Elijah could learn to trust God. Elijah could learn that although he was all alone by the brook in the Kereth Ravine, God was with him and he was not alone. You need to learn to trust God the same. Because You know that the Bible tells us that God will never forsake you. He will never leave you. He is always there for you. He has promised to be with you and walk with you all through your life. And God begins to shape you in the places of seclusion and isolation. And He teaches you that you could trust Him and you can count on Him. The story teaches us a few more things here. We look at it, we learn that you have to live for God. Elijah lived for God. He did not bow down to the false God of Baal. He did not worship any other God but the true God of Israel. Elijah stayed true to God. You need to learn to live for God. Stay true to God. Stay true to who God is. Stay true to who God says He is about Himself. Another thing we learn is you have to learn to listen and obey God. That's what Elijah does all through this story. And this is just the beginning of Elijah's story. In the very beginning, he learns to listen and obey. He may not understand. I'm sure that, you know, his first thought when he said, I have to go to the wicked King Ahab, his first thought was, really, of all the people, this is where you're sending me for my first assignment? To the wicked king of Israel, but that's what God did. That's what God sent him. He said what God said, and then he went away to the Kereth Ravine. In those places of desolation, God will meet you there. Learn to trust and obey. And another thing we need to learn is you have to look to God. You have to look to who God is. You have to look to what God says. You have to know that your answers are not going to be found in this world. Answers are not going to be found in our governments or in our science. Not going to be found in our bank accounts and our savings accounts. Not going to be found in our RSPs. Our hope is found in God, and we need to look to God. You need to look to God. God knew exactly where to put Elijah so he'd be safe. God knows exactly what to do in your life to help you to get to the next part of your life, the next story of your growth, the next place where God wants you. God will provide for you. God is going to prepare for you. God is going to work in you. But you need to look to God. The story of Elijah here in the Kereth Ravine reminds us that you don't have to face your situation alone. That there is a God who wants to walk with you through your situation. Just like God sent Elijah to the Kereth Brook and sent the ravens to take care of him. And just like God was with him in the drought, God is with you in the situations that you face. God is with you with whatever drought you are going through right now. Whatever you are facing today, God is there with you. He is there through it with you. He is there for you. He knows what you're going through today. You're not alone. You are not forgotten. You are not forsaken. God is with you. Whatever you're going through, if it feels like something is crushing you today, God is there for you. What is it that has you feeling alone and secluded? I want you to know that the same God who sent the ravens to feed Elijah is the same God who cares for you today. Your ravens may not be blackbirds, but God has a provision for your needs. It doesn't come early. It doesn't come, you know, way in advance. It always comes just in time. Every day Elijah had to wait for ravens in the morning, in the evening, and every day you need to learn to wait on God in the morning and the evening. God shows up just in time. God shows up just when you need and for what you need at that very moment. It may not be the Kereth Ravine that you are secluded in, but I want you to know that wherever you are safe in the hands of God, because God sees you, God cares about you, and God loves you. God wants to walk through your situations with you. This is another beautiful part of the story. God didn't send Elijah to the Kereth Ravine and said, I'll see you in 3.5 years at the end of the drought. No, God was there with him. And God sees you right where you are, and God is there with you right now. Maybe you're listening to this story and maybe you're jealous. You're jealous for the relationship that Elijah and God have. You're jealous that a man like Elijah could know God that real and that intimately. Maybe you're watching or listening to this today and you say, Pastor, I want to know God the same way. I want to have a relationship with God similar to that of Elijah. Well, I want you to know that God wants that too. God wants you to know him. God wants to be able to speak into your life and that you would recognize his voice. God wants to walk through your journey of life with you. You can have a relationship with God. You can have a relationship with God right here, right now, today. Bible tells us how you can come to have a relationship with God. First, you need to acknowledge that Jesus is who he said he is. That Jesus is who the Bible describes him to be. That the things that Jesus said about him in the gospel accounts are true. And then you need to believe that Jesus died on a cross and he rose again to life. And he did it so that your sins could be forgiven. And then you need to confess that you need Jesus in your life and you need the forgiveness of the sins that he offers you. So maybe you're listening to me today and right here, right now, and you're saying, that's what I need. I'm in this place of worry, of fear. I'm in this place where anxiety, where everything that's happening in the world just seems to be overwhelming. It seems like this has got to be the end of the world. But it's not. Maybe it's the end of you understanding that I need God, I need Jesus. You can have Jesus in your life. You can have a relationship with God today. All you need to do is do those things, believe and accept and confess. And I want to help you with that. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And if you say, Pastor, I want a relationship with God, then pray this prayer after me. Don't pray it just as words, but pray it as felt from your heart. Let's pray together this morning. Dear God, I come to you and I acknowledge who Jesus is. And I believe that Jesus died on the cross to forgive me of my sin. And I accept you, Jesus. And I ask you to come and forgive me of my sin. And more than that, I ask you to help me have a relationship with you. Help me to live for you like Elijah lived for you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer and maybe you've never prayed it before, it's been a long, long time since you've prayed anything like that, I want you to let me know. Help me to know. And just take your phone and text me. Text the word love to our number 416-267-1189. Text love. And that'll ask you for your name and information. And do that. And then I'll be in touch with you and I will follow up with you. Maybe you're even watching on our live stream platform through our website. Right now, you can just click that box that popped up, I commit my life to Jesus. If you click that and follow the prompts there, we will be in touch with you. We want to help you as you grow in your relationship with God. And maybe you've been watching this morning and you didn't need to pray that prayer because you're already a follower of Jesus. That's wonderful. But I want to encourage you, even if you're a Jesus follower, to take the story of Elijah to heart, to understand that God walks with you through all the things in your life, that you have not been forgotten or forsaken, that God loves you and cares for you. And in those places of seclusion, in those times of isolation, that you would allow God to form and shape your character so that you can be all that he has destined you to be.